about a litre of urine. Collecting and removing thousands of tons of waste from stables and streets proved increasingly difficult. The problem had literally been building up for decades. A newspaper editor in New York City declared in 1857 that, with the exception of a very few thoroughfares, all the streets are one mass of reeking, disgusting filth, which in some places is piled to such a height as to render them almost impassable to vehicles. Residents of other American cities voiced similar complaints, describing the streets as too foul to serve as the sties for the hogs, filthy in the extreme, and extremely unhealthy. As well as filling the air with a terrible stench, the abundance of horse manure turned streets into muddy cesspools whenever it rained. An eyewitness account from London in the 1890s describes the mud, the accepted euphemism among prudish Victorians, that often flooded the Strand, one of the city's main thoroughfares, as having the consistency of thick pea soup. Passing vehicles would fling sheets of such soup, where not intercepted by trousers or skirts, completely across the pavement, spattering and staining nearby houses and shopfronts. Crossing sweepers would help the well-to-do across the road in larger cities, ensuring for a small fee that the path was clear of fresh horse droppings. But any street that was not constantly cleared, noted an American writer in 1899, is literally carpeted with a warm brown matting of comminuted horse dropping, smelling to heaven, and destined in no inconsiderable part to be scattered in fine dust in all directions, as it was ground down by iron-shod wheels and hooves. Manure collected from the streets was piled up at dumps dotted around major towns and cities. Huge piles of manure also built up next to stables and provided an attractive environment for flies. Health officials in Rochester, New York, calculated that if the manure produced by the 15,000 horses in the city each year was piled up, it would cover an acre of ground to a height of 175 feet and breed 16 billion flies. And Rochester was a small city by comparison with Chicago, which had five times as many horses, or New York City, which had 10 times as many. All of this was bad for public health. The Board of Health statisticians in New York City found higher levels of infectious disease in dwellings and schools within 50 feet of stables than in remoter locations, the New York Times reported in 1894. According to one turn-of-the-century calculation, 20,000 New Yorkers died annually from maladies that fly in the dust, clear evidence of the dangers posed to health by reliance on horses. To make matters worse, horses were frequently overworked, and when they dropped dead, the bodies were often left rotting on the streets for several days before being dismembered and removed, posing a further health risk. By the 1880s, 15,000 dead horses were being removed from the streets of New York City each year. Paradoxically, the advent of the steam locomotive and the construction of intercity railway links, starting in the 1830s, had helped make the problem worse. Faster and more efficient transport between cities increased the demand for rapid transport of people and goods within them, which required a greater number of horse-drawn vehicles. Our dependence on the horse has grown almost pari passu, step for step, with our dependence on steam, noted one observer in 1872. The result was more horses, more manure, and steadily worsening congestion. One observer in 1870 wrote that Broadway in Manhattan was almost impassable at some times of the day. By 1890, streets in the lower part of the city are completely blocked 3 or 4 days out of the week, observed Scientific American. And when the traffic did move, it was deafening as metal horseshoes and iron-rimmed wheels clattered over uneven surfaces. In the 1890s, conversation was barely possible on New York City streets because of the sound of traffic. Straw was sometimes strewn on roads outside hospitals and some private houses to reduce the din. Pollution, congestion, and noise were merely the most obvious manifestations of a deeper dependency. An outbreak of equine influenza in North America in October 1872 incapacitated all horses and mules for several weeks, providing a stark reminder of society's reliance on animal power. The New York Times noted the disappearance of trucks, drays,